This is Living Lab Radio. I'm Heather Goldstone. Government officials have warned people to avoid e-cigarettes after several people have died and hundreds of otherwise healthy people have ended up in emergency rooms across the country with lung damage that appears to be linked to vaping. The illness has been dubbed mysterious, but new research may help explain what's going on. A study exposing mice to some of the chemicals used in e-cigarettes resulted in lung damage similar to what's being seen in people in hospitals. Farah Karadmand is professor of pulmonary medicine at Baylor College of Medicine and senior author on that newly published work. Farah, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
Now, this work being published in the past couple of weeks has garnered a lot of headlines, a lot of attention, seems very timely, but obviously a study like this does not happen overnight. This is something you've been working on for years. So where did this work originate? What gave you the idea that you might need to look into this and start looking at damaging effects of vaping?
That's a great question. Yes, none of this study actually could have been accomplished had it not been for a question that we raised about 4 years ago when we saw several publications back to back showing that the mice or laboratory animals exposed to vaping accumulate the same kind of inflammatory cells in their lungs that are reminiscent of cigarette smoke exposure. So again, the surprise of this story is that while we expected to observe an effect of nicotine containing vape material or exposure to vape with nicotine, our two negative controls in our thought were the ones that were just going to get the vape juice, right? Or what they, in the lay term, they call it e-juice, meaning electronic solvents where you put your nicotine in it. And then our second group was just mice that were exposed to filtered air. So we thought, okay, those are two control groups, and then the other two are the one we're going to do side by side. But the surprise of the story came when my graduate student, Matthew Madison, he came to my office and said, you know, Dr. Karadmand, I can't find any evidence that the vape exposure mice, they don't really show any evidence for inflammation as far as I could see in their lungs. But here's what I found. The macrophages, or these immune cells that are your first line of defense, they appear to look very different than mice that have been exposed to air or cigarette smoke. And so that sort of was our first evidence that, well, we're looking at something that these mice have been, you know, uniformly exposed to, which is the solvent, because with or without nicotine, these cells look exactly the same.
So what is in, as you called it, vape juice? What are these solvents that are being used in e-cigarettes if that appears to be what is affecting the lungs of the mice exposed to it, as opposed to the nicotine or the cannabis or whatever else is put in there, or the flavors for that matter? If it's really just that basic solvent, what are those chemicals?
So they're called propylene glycol and vegetable glycerol, or just you know, short glycerol. In fact, we didn't really make this up. We actually went to a vape shop in Houston and asked, what are the most common e-juice used in when you sell these products? And they said, oh, yeah, that's easy. That's PGVG, so propylene glycol, vegetable glycerol, which is the combination of which it is sort of been manipulated to a point where vapors feel they get a very good hit in their lungs. They feel that something is going in, and they feel it's the same kind of feeling as a cigarette smoke inhalation gives you, that you feel like something is really going down to your lungs. So they've perfected that ratio, PGVG ratio, to simulate smoking. Ratio that we use is exactly what, again, been used commercially.
Farah Karadmand, walk us through exactly what it was you saw. I mean, you're exposing these mice to, you know, they're breathing essentially vape juice. Were they dropping dead? Did you have to go really searching for the effects? How obvious were they? And how much do those effects mirror what we're seeing in humans showing up in emergency rooms?
So exactly. So it was brought to my attention that, in fact, this is now as early as 2011, 2012, case reports of heavy vapors presenting with shortness of breath and finding things in their lungs that resemble what we call in clinics lipoid pneumonia, meaning that excess lipid in the lungs being accumulated. And so when I looked at those images and I looked at Matthew's, and we sort of thought, well, you know, I wonder if what we're looking at is what's been actually, at least in case reports, as early, like I said, as, you know, even before we started our experiment, is it the same pathway? And the other thing is that, you know, reading these case reports, they had presumed that the glycerol, which is, you know, a vegetable type of oil, extracted from vegetable oil, is what's accumulating in the lungs of these patients that are showing in emergency rooms. And again, it was so rare and so new that was being reported as case reports. And then they presumed that it's the glycerol in the vape material, and they would tell the patients to stop vaping, and most often they would fare better. So then we sort of started chasing after, well, is it the glycerol that is in PGVG, again, the VG part of it being glycerol, is this what's accumulating in the macrophages?
And is it?
It is not. And that is actually in our paper showing that our first line of thought was that, is it the same material that is, again, in humans, nobody had measured it. They had just presumed it is what that glycerol is. And we were very surprised to find that these lipids that are accumulating are the type that the body generates, meaning that it is what we call endogenous form of lipid, not exogenous. Exogenous being what something from coming from outside, meaning there would have been potentially the glycerol that was in the vape juice. What we found was that no, indeed, these are called phosphatidylcholines, and these are the type of lipids that are generated by body and being incorporated into a lining fluid of your lung, which, by the way, continuously gets reabsorbed and remade in order for this lining fluid to properly function. And one of the functions of this lining fluid is your first line of defense against anything that invades the lung.
So what is the end result of this lung damage? How does having this extra lipid building up that your body is producing and you know, putting into these cells, what kind of health effects does that actually have?
So again, that was the next line of experiments, because what we were observing, just like 99.99% of vapors out there, which they don't necessarily feel there's anything wrong with them, and our mice actually did not lose weight, they did not look sick, but what happened was when we isolated the cells from the lungs of mice that were exposed to vape with or without nicotine, again, independent of nicotine, the cells behaved the same way, but they were incapable of responding to what would be an alarming molecule, which is a piece of virus or a piece of bacteria. They were not behaving as if they were not seeing it.
I mean, these are immune cells, and they're no longer acting like immune cells and doing their job to fight a virus.
Exactly. Even though the mice are running around, eating, performing their bodily function just fine, their immune cells were, again, now not working well. And so what we then, to then test the hypothesis that if these cells that we're looking at them outside their body are not functioning well or not seeing bacteria or viruses correctly, what if we infect them? And so what happens then? And that's basically what is the crux of the paper, is that, yes, while they look fine, but if they cannot handle viruses, because even a very small dose of influenza virus, which we introduced to these cohorts of mice, they were not able to handle it. They had quite a bit of immune cells coming into the lungs, and at the same time, a significant portion of these mice succumbed to their infection.
They died as a result of an exposure to a small amount of flu virus.
Correct.
So your research has shown that chronically breathing in vape juice changes these immune cells, these macrophages, and their ability to do their job to fight a virus. And you're saying that we see essentially the same symptoms, and the cells look the same in humans coming into ERs after they have vaped. And I have to wonder how we got here. If these chemicals that are in vape juice are this dangerous? How did we not know this before these products went on the market?
Well, so propylene glycol and vegetable glucose are currently used in medicine. They're solvents. They are FDA approved. For instance, propylene glycol in particular is a very good solvent, and which a lot of medications that are require strong solvents are used. So in the intensive care unit, for instance, we have a lot of patients that receive medication and they are dissolved in propylene glycol. Now, we are very careful because we know propylene glycol has side effects, and so we only limit the amount of propylene glycol used in each case to 24 hours, at the most 72 hours, in order to minimize the amount of metabolic changes that these can induce. But nonetheless, all of this is intravenous. We have never, ever, or FDA has never, ever, even tested or been asked to determine whether these things, these chemical solvents, are actually safe as in a form of inhalational, let alone chronic inhalation.
I mean, that seems like an enormous oversight. It doesn't take somebody with an advanced degree in toxicology to know that drinking water is different than breathing water. How can a product be approved without knowing if the chemicals are safe to breathe?
Good question.
Farah Karadmand, where do we go from here? I mean, you're talking about a relatively small number of studies that you have done in your lab, showing these effects in mice, showing effects that are similar to the case studies that we have in humans from emergency rooms. But that's still a fairly small body of work. What more do we need? And what kind of response might be appropriate to what we know at this point?
Well, I mean, basically, this pretty much opened a can of worms. So we need to know which component is it. Is it the really the ratio that is most commonly purchased or commercialized? Is this ratio what's causing this? Or is it a propylene glycol? But it could be also vegetable glycerol alone. So we need to separate these things out. We need to do some really careful studies to see which components and to what degree there are causing this problem. And then alternatively, we need to know, well, okay, so now that we know they do poison the cells, when does it clear or does it clear? The other thing is that more than half of the cases of some of the most severely ill people that have been in the hospital, the solvents that were used also contain vitamin E acetate. So one of the big questions my lab is trying to focus on is to understand the vitamin E acetate component that could be something that perhaps exaggerates what we see chronically.
That's Farah Karadmand. She's a professor of pulmonary medicine at Baylor College of Medicine and senior author on a new study documenting lung damage in mice who chronically inhaled some of the chemicals used in e-cigarettes. Farah Karadmand, thank you so much for talking with us.
Thank you for having me.